Good morning. It is so good to see you all here. And this is the first Sunday of a new year. You know what? I want to just encourage every one of you as I prayed this morning. Let's make this a brand new year for our lives, that we will do God's will. Not a resolution, but a commitment. Because, you know, Jesus committed His life to us, and He still does to this day. He commits everything to us and takes care of all of our needs. And I think that we should do everything within our hearts and our lives to please the Lord and do His will. I want to share something that really I've thought about this week, and boy, it's Sunday. Well, I'll tell you what, let me back up a little bit. I went to go see Roy the first time when Effie asked me. And that week I went down to his house down here. And I had no idea what a friend I was going to make. And I met this guy who had a heart for Jesus. Despite what he was going through, he remained joyful and vigilant. And he actually became an encouragement to me. And I've had some good visits with Roy. And last week, Thursday, I went to the hospital and Roy was awake for a little bit and he knew who I was. And then last Sunday, as I got out to go to the hospital, I had such a wonderful and a blessed time visiting with Jody and her husband, Tony. I got to meet him for the first time. And we just shared a lot about the goodness of the Lord. And when I left there, I thanked God for the people that He's put in my life from day to day. See, you never know who God's going to put into your path. You never know what an effect you're going to make on somebody's life. And that's why I preach, and I say this a lot. People probably get tired of hearing me say a lot of the time in the sermons how important it is that if we say we love God, we've got to love people. Because as I left the hospital, I walked out of the room. When I came off the elevator, there was a young lady standing by the window on her phone, and she looked out of place. And when I came back out of the room and was leaving after visiting with Jody and Tony, she was still standing there, and the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to go over and pray for her. So I just turned to her and I walked up to her and I said, hi, how are you today? And she said, well, I'm okay. I says, could I pray with you about something today? And she goes, no. Then she goes, yes. She said, my mother was just diagnosed with stage 4 liver cancer. And she said, I'm having to call a bunch of people. And then the tears started to flow down her face. And I said, well, let's pray. Let me pray with you. And I asked her, is your mother a Christian? Yes. And I asked her, have you received Christ as your Lord and Savior? Her answer, yes. I thought, great, that's wonderful. So I just took a moment to share with her what God placed on my heart. And then we prayed together. And I believe that the Lord took care of the entire situation. And after we got done praying, I asked her, would you like a hug? Do you need a hug? And she said, yes, I do. And the tears run down her face. And we just hugged. So I say that because when God puts somebody in your path, and if you just pass them by, you are passing up a great blessing in your life. Boy, it's sweet to hear that baby. I love that noise. And by the way, I want to say something real quick. It's sweet to have Milton and his girlfriend here today too. Good to have you guys. But you know, when God puts these opportunities in our path, we've got to grasp them. When God puts something on your heart, act on it right away. That's why I prayed last Sunday, and I've been praying all week, God, let 2024 be a year where you really do things in my life, where you really move, where you use me greater than I've ever asked you to use me before. And that's exactly what God's been doing. So the sermon today is about Nehemiah. And Nehemiah is a man who wanted to be used by God greater than he ever thought, you know, God could ever work in his life. And he was a man who was after God's heart. He wanted to serve the Lord. So I pray that in this new year, that's exactly what each and every one of you will do. That you will follow the Lord with all your heart. And that you'll make that commitment to Him today. I'd like to ask you, if you would, to turn with me to the book of Nehemiah, the second chapter, verses 11 through 18. She's already preaching. And when you get to Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 11, I'd like to ask you to stand as I read from God's Word. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. Then I arose in the night, I and a few men with me. I told no one what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem, nor was there any animal with me except the one on which I rode. And I went out by night through the valley gate to the serpent well and the refuse gate, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and its gates, which were burned with fire. Then I went on to the fountain gate and to the king's pool, but there was no room for the animal under me to pass. So I went up in the night by the valley and viewed the wall. Then I turned back and entered by the valley gate and so returned. And the officials did not know where I had gone or what I had done. I had not yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, or the others who did the work. Then I said to them, "You see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste, and its gates are burned with fire. Come and let us build the walls of Jerusalem that we may no longer be a reproach." And I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, "Let us rise up and build." Then they set their hands to this good work. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. God, today, we pray that you will help us to do the work you've called us to do. Let us be like Nehemiah. We don't want to sit by the wayside and wait for somebody else to do the work. God, we want to be the ones who will step forward and say, "Father, use us to do the job that you've called us to do, Heavenly Father." And God, give us the strength each day as we live for you and as we seek out your will for our lives. Lord, as I preach the message today, let every word come from your Holy Spirit. And Father, speak through me and let no words come from my flesh or my own thoughts. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. A vision begins as a thought. A vision does not necessarily require immediate action. So what do you do in the meantime to keep your dream alive? Today we're going to look at Nehemiah, because he had heard that the condition of Jerusalem's walls was pretty bad, and there was nothing he could physically do to remedy the situation. It seemed as if he was in the wrong place, with the wrong job, working for the wrong guy. But Nehemiah was not inactive. The 4 months between hearing about the condition of the walls and finally being able to do something about it was a productive time for Nehemiah. Nehemiah did two things to prepare for the time when God would lead him to pursue his vision. So Nehemiah was the kind of guy that he didn't just sit around and wait. He didn't wait for somebody else to come up and say, hey, I'll take over this job. And Nehemiah wasn't the kind of guy who sat with his tools beside him and saying, well, okay, God, I've got everything I need. Now, what are you going to do about it? As we read in the scripture, Nehemiah took it upon himself to go out and look at the walls of Jerusalem to see the destruction that had happened to them. And Nehemiah knew that God sent him there, but in Nehemiah's heart, Nehemiah felt like he was in the wrong place at the wrong time doing the wrong job. See, isn't it funny how God puts us in a place and then the devil comes to us and puts a thought in our mind and then we start thinking, well, surely God wouldn't have me here to do this job or witness to that person or whatever it may be. Surely God wouldn't do that. That, you know, this is not, yeah, this ain't the Lord, so I think I'll let somebody else do it. Friends, I want to tell you this morning, when God speaks to your heart and your life and He's telling you to do something, my first words is that you better grab a hold of it and you say, Lord, let's do this together, but you lead me, because I know that where you lead me, you'll guide me, and where you're guiding me, you are going to provide for every need that I'll ever have. Now, I tell you what, I stepped into a church some years back, and boy, when I went in there, I thought, there's no way. I mean, there was probably 8 people in that church. They had a brand new building. In the baptistry, there were ladders, boxes, Christmas decorations, all kinds of stuff. And there was bugs and yuck all in that baptistry. And the people just were, I'll say this, a little bit backward in their thoughts and beliefs. A little bit. And I asked one day, we were having a men's work day. And I said, well, what's all this stuff in the baptistry for? Well, Brother Jim, we didn't have anywhere else to put it, so it all ended up there. I said, but there's a whole new basement in this church, and there's like 20 rooms down there and a big, huge closet. Let's get this stuff out of there and let's get the baptistry ready. And they said, for what? I said, because we're going to start having baptisms. And they said, but we haven't had a baptism here, and we don't know when. I said, well, that's what we're getting ready to do. God sent me there. And during the work day, the thought came to me, I don't belong here. And I mean to tell you, I went home at nights, and I would wrestle with God. And I said, God, I don't want to be there. That's not the place for me. I know where I need to be. There's this church, and I know everybody, and they're good people. And if you would just put me over there, boy, how great it would be. And God still had me at this other church. Well, we got the baptistry all cleaned out, and I thought, if these men aren't going to help me, I'm going to do it myself. Well, they actually pitched in. We cleaned out the baptistry. Everything got taken downstairs. And lo and behold, when they saw all the storage they had down there, everything got put away nice and neat. We cleaned the bugs out. And I said, does the baptistry work? Yes, the plumbing's new. It heats everything good. So we started praying for a revival. And they thought I was crazy because I would preach messages about going out and being a witness and doing God's work, just like I do here. And I started going out and visiting folks, and I would take Pastor Ron Orr with me, a dear friend, and we would go to different homes and visit. And I kid you not, we started going to like the Creole Springs Nursing Home. There were some people who could come to church if they were being brought by car. And we went and visited this man, and he started coming to church, and a nurse came with him. And then we went and visited another family, and they started coming. And before long, the family got saved. The gentleman from the nursing home got saved. The nurse that brought him got saved. And just a few weeks after we cleaned the baptistry out, we were filling it with water and having our first baptism. So what I'm saying to you, don't look at your church and say, well, golly, we haven't had a baptism in forever, or we haven't seen anybody go forward and get saved. That's why we got to be people who don't just dream about something happening. We have to be a visionary. Nehemiah was a visionary. Nehemiah was the kind of man that if there was a job to be done, he jumped in with both feet in the trough and he got it done. But he listened to God. He did exactly what God told him to do, how God told him to do it, and when God told him to do it. He was faithful. He made plans. He made plans. He talked to the Lord and he waited on God. And look what God did. God brought about the plan and the resources to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. There's a lot of people in the church who dream. And dreamers are people who just have these fleeting thoughts. They just come to the mind, well, boy, we'd sure like to see this church house filled. Or, boy, we'd sure like to see this happen or that happen. Well, don't be a dreamer. Be the visionary. If you have something come into your heart and your mind, take it to God in prayer and say, Lord, we need our church house filled. Lord, we need revival service. If that's something that you're looking forward to doing, then it's time for you to hit your knees to the floor and seek God and say, Father, I don't want to be a dreamer anymore. I want to be a visionary. I'm a visionary. If I want to see something happen, then I want to jump in and take hold and let's get it done. Let's not sit around and talk about it. Let's make it happen. And I'll tell you one thing. There's a baptistry behind those curtains. And I'm not going to ask when the last time it was used. It's not that important. What I want to ask now is when do you want to see it used? When? I want to tell you just something before I get into the two points here. Imagine a man standing here with a shovel. He wants to dig a hole. So he's got the shovel standing right here. Okay, God, it's me again. I needed a hole dug. Well, I've got a shovel here in my hand, so God, could you dig a hole for me? That's how a lot of Christians live their life. Well, God, hey, it's me again. Well, you've given me all the tools I need to cultivate a good Christian life. You've told me what to do. But God, hey, could you do it for me? That's not how it works. A man standing here with a shovel, if he's got a hole to be dug, you know what he's got to do? He's got to put that back and those hands and those arms and that body into it. And he's got to take that shovel and he's got to get that into the ground and throw away the first load of dirt. And then a second. And then a third. And he's got to keep going until the hole is dug. And what God is saying to us today, God is tired of us sitting by the wayside wanting somebody else to do the job. Oh, no, that's for the pastor. Oh, no, that's for somebody else. That's for the deacons. Oh, no, that's for the Sunday school director. Oh, I've heard it all over the 35 years of ministry. It's all of our job. And it's time for us to take what God has given us and to put it to good use. We need to start saying, Lord, I see what we're short of in our church. I see where I could take up slack, or us could take up slack. Lord, help us to do it. What is your will, and how do you want us to go about accomplishing it? I guarantee you, God will start showing you. And once God starts putting things in motion, you can't turn back and say, oh, well, this is too much, Lord. See, God will give you the strength you need to accomplish anything. So that little church that we had of 8 people, it quickly grew. We were had 30, and then we had 40, and then we were running about 60 to 70. And this church sat way out on a blacktop road, and there was just a few houses around it. But God did. I was a pastor there for 2.5, 3 years before God moved me on somewhere else. And during that time, I had great friendships developed and some of the greatest things that I've ever watched God do happen in that little church. And I saw people's lives transformed. So, let me get to these 2 points. What did Nehemiah do? He prayed. Prayer is critical to vision development. And why? Because we see what we are looking for and often miss what we don't expect to see. See, a visionary is always watching out. A visionary is always on guard. God wants us as His children to be on guard. God tells us to always be alert. See, the devil is out there trying to rob. He's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. The Bible says that the devil's like a roaring lion. He's just making a bunch of noise. We cannot let the devil get inside of our heads and disrupt the flow that God has started doing. A lady made mention something to me the other day that I thought was really neat. She said, you know what? The devil got kicked out of heaven, and he took just a third of the angels went with him. She said, why in the world do we fear so much? She said, we have God. Jesus died on the cross, and He rose from the tomb, and He's coming back again. And God gave us His Holy Spirit to give us power, to be at peace. And then there's the other two-thirds of the angels in heaven that basically, and we were created in God's image, in God's likeness. We were created in God's likeness. The devil wasn't. The devil was an angel. But the devil was dumb enough, and a third of the angels were dumb enough to follow after him to think they were going to kick God off His throne. And they got kicked out of heaven. Now, so why in the world would we be so fearful of somebody that ignorant that they got themselves kicked out of heaven? And I said, boy, it's a really good point to ponder, because you have God, you should be at peace. You should. There should not be any fear well up inside of us, because Jesus said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. And Jesus says that He has a peace that passes all understanding. And you know what? That peace, it will guard our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. But what do? The devil starts talking here and we go, oh my. And then we let fear kick in. I used to have that issue. I let fear get a hold of me, and I would never go forward with some of the things that I wanted to have happen. And you know what? Those things fell by the wayside, and years down the road, I would look back and start kicking myself. And then God would say, well, why are you looking back instead of looking forward? Let's get back on the job I've called you to do. So prayer. Prayer keeps us looking. It keeps our eyes and our hearts in expectant mode. When God begins to move, we are only going to see if we are ready and watching. Now, God didn't pray. I mean, Nehemiah didn't pray and ask God to rebuild the wall, did he? No. We shouldn't be praying and asking God to do everything in our church. That's what He put us here for. Nehemiah just wanted God to lead him as he rebuilt the wall. Bring me the men. Bring me the resources. You know what? Once they had it all, you know what they said? Let's get to work. Nobody's standing around. This ain't no union job site. So don't stand around while you're getting paid for it. I don't even think they got paid. They got heavenly benefits for it. But they started working. So it's time for us as God's people to say, all right, Lord, what is your plan? What do you see for us, Lord? And then it's our job to be like-minded and have our hearts in one accord that we go after what God wants to do in this church or any other church here in Southern Illinois. Dreamers, they just dream about things being different. Well, I sure wish we had Sunday school, or I wish we had this or that. Well, hey, become a visionary and start praying about it and start taking it before God. Say, God, we want Sunday school. God, we want this or that. Lord, what is your will? And put me there in the middle of it and bring me some people to help out. But I only want, I'd be praying, Lord, I want you to send me people who have a heart like mine. People who are committed. And I tell you what, whoever was here Friday for the funeral dinner, committed. People that do the yard sale, committed. People who do the shoe boxes, committed. People who decorate the church, committed. People who come up here and unlock it, and turn the lights on, committed. That's what God's looking for. Now I don't know. I know Laura comes up here in the morning. I think, is that right? Unlocks. Now Laura, what would it be like if she's just sitting at home drinking coffee and she's still got her PJs on and she's drinking coffee? And then all of a sudden she says, well, maybe Sarah would go unlock the church this morning. And she dreams about it. She doesn't do nothing about it. Maybe Sarah would go and she'll get this thought. Doesn't tell Sarah, but maybe she will. And Sarah doesn't know what she's thinking. And Sarah doesn't come. And then nobody comes up to unlock the church and get the heat on. It's a cold day. Well, guess what happens? A dreamer just thinks about it, but it never got done. That's why God wants us to be visionaries. God wants us to be people of purpose. Secondly, Nehemiah planned. Nehemiah thought about what he would need to accomplish the vision, or at least to get it started. When God gives us a vision, we need to go ahead and start developing a plan. You need to assume that you have the resources, and if you did have those resources, what would you do? Nehemiah laid out the steps of how to pursue the vision. He made sure that if he got an opportunity to present his vision to the king, he was ready. We need, as God's people, we need to be praying for opportunities. And we need to pray that we'll come up with plans. If a church is going to survive, that's what you have to have. Now, let me give you an example. If all of us here, we just all grew old and we passed away and we didn't get outside these walls and invite people and we didn't have folks come to church and we all passed away, who's going to take over? Who's going to be in the pulpit? Who's going to be hearing from God's word? Who's going to be the next leaders in the church? Who's going to be the next deacons or Sunday school? Who? But if we all just got comfortable and dreamed about it, who would be the next person to take over this church? Who would be the next generation? Yeah. What year did this church start again? 1906. Well, you sure don't want to see 2030 someone saying, well, we need to lock the doors. There's nobody left here anymore. I want to tell you something sad. Last Sunday, I'm walking into Kroger, and I get a text message on my phone. And it's from a past church member. And she said to me, did you know that Forest Baptist Church has closed their doors for good? And my heart dropped. And I said, what? What happened? Well, I call them the patriarch and the matriarch of that church, a husband and wife. Well, after Janine and I had left there, he died. He passed away, the husband did. And dear sweet Linda kept things going at that church. She was the treasurer. She was the cheer giver. I mean, a cheer giving woman, always smiling, loving people, doing for others. And she kept that. I mean, she did. She would invite people to come to church, and people came to that church. And it was out in the middle of, guess what? Nowhere. And it wasn't the prettiest building, but the love inside that place. And when we went for church on Sunday morning, we were always expected to receive from God there. And we always had a lot of good things happen. But when we were at that church for 5 years, I think. And when we left, another pastor came in. And I thought, boy, this is great. I hope this church continues to grow and prosper. Well, guess what? Along the way, they quit growing. They quit evangelizing. And with only just a couple people left, the furnace system broke down. They had no money in the church. I'm guessing, I don't know. I don't know about the prayers in that church. But now the doors are closed permanent. And I heard about that and my heart sank. Because myself, when I was there, and a lot of people, we spent a lot of time visiting and getting folks to come there. That's why I really hope that we take a look, take a long, hard look. And I want to encourage you this morning. When you get in your car and you drive away from Bosque Dell, I just want you to get in your car and just look at the building for a moment. Now, don't get your attention focused on the building. But what I want you to do is get your attention focused on what God wants to do here. Don't look at your age and say, well, I'm too old to do this or that. No, you're not. Or I'm not gifted enough. That's a lie from the enemy. Or, well, nobody want to come to our church. It's little. Well, don't say that either. I tell you what, with things going on the way they are in these bigger churches, I'd rather have a small church any day. I do. And I'm not saying nothing bad about them. But what I've seen and what I've heard people say, the pastor don't even know who we are. Pastor don't ever come out and visit because there's so many of us. Nobody reaches out. What happens here? When there's something going on, people reach out. And people do in love. So when you pull away this morning, say, God, what is my job here? What is your vision? What's your vision for the church? And what do I need as part of that family, part of that church? So be like Nehemiah. Be a visionary. You've got everything that you need. Take it to God in prayer. And make it happen. Let God lead you and make it happen. Sometimes I think we don't pray enough. And I've said this. We have every opportunity to go to God in prayer. And sometimes we just sit around. We turn the TV on. We want to watch the news. Oh, we got to catch up on the news. Got to catch up on the lies going on CNN and Fox and all that other garbage. And people fill their head with that. And then the Bible sits over there. I should be reading. I should be studying. But no, I think my favorite program's coming on. I tell you what, some of the trash on TV today, I'd like to take the TV and just chuck it out the door. Let somebody else have it. I want to put out the challenge to you that this year, you will ask God to make you a visionary. That you will ask God to change your personality, to change your heart, to make you the person that He wants you to be, that God wants me to be.
That should be our focus.